Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على إمام الهدى والمتقين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن اتبعهم بالهدى ليوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, and peace and blessings upon the Master of the Messengers Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and his companions and whosoever followed them until the day of judgment. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, brothers, to this talk organized by members of Hizb al-Tahrir. The discussion for today is survival guide consumerism. How do we deal with the consumer society that we're living in today that engulfs everybody in the West? The talk will be given by Brother Taji Mustafa. It will be for approximately half an hour, after which we will open up the floor for any questions or comments. So inshallah, without any further ado, I'll pass you on to Brother Taji, who will begin his talk, Survival Guide, Consumer Society.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahi rahmani rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, my brothers.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, we give praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask for his peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and all those who follow him until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The subject I've been given today is consumer society, a survival guide in the consumer society. So what I want to talk about is the consumer society, which is the society we live in. But maybe first of all to touch on what is the reality of the consumer society. We find that we live in the Western world where people in society feel a constant need to have the latest and newest things. This is what it means to live in a consumer society. People feel a need to have the latest and newest thing. So we're sitting here, it's a sunny day, there's a lot of people on Oxford Street. Going shopping, you've got to buy the new clothes. Whether they need it or not, different issue. But there's a need to be satisfied. People go and buy the new clothes. People change their mobile phones every 4 months. Some people every 3 months. You know that latest Nokia with polymorphic ringtones? I've got to have it. A lot of people have this kind of ideas. People at home, they want to have the latest, newest surround sound, home entertainment, DVD, video combo, whatever system. The latest, they want to have it. People have to go out to enjoy and to watch the latest movie. People need to go out once a week. So in my office, Thursday night, the guys in my office, Thursday night, they have to go out. It's a necessity. It's like if they didn't go out Thursday night, there's something wrong. So we find that people, they feel the need to consume things, to have the latest, the newest things, again and again and again. We find that many of us, Muslims, are also caught up in this consumer society. So maybe the first issue I want to touch upon is that, why is there this need to always consume? Why is there this need to always consume? There's various reasons for this. People consume, people buy new things. One could be in order to fulfill a need. Yeah, the mobile phone's not working very well, you need a new one, it's no problem. You can buy a new one if you can afford it. Alhamdulillah. The washing machine is 5 years old. The clothes are not clean anymore. You go and buy a new washing machine. So one of the reasons why we consume is in order to fulfill a need. We have a need for something. New clothes, new this, new that. Because the old one doesn't work, the old one has crashed, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with this. Another reason why a lot of people feel the need to consume is in order to keep up with the Joneses. Or nowadays, they keep up with the Beckhams. Or for the Muslims, they want to keep up with the Khans or keep up with the Ahmeds. So when they go to Mr. Khan's house, they walk in, yeah, they don't keep their eyes to themselves. They look around the living room. Wow, man. Whoa. Sunny widescreen TV. God, never seen that one before. They eye it. And when they go home, they analyze. Did you see Mr. Khan's house? He had a new surround sound system. He had a widescreen TV. Man, look at ourselves. So they start to push each other that the Khans had this. We've got to have better than that. Because we're competing with the Khans. Or you find this issue sometimes with the issue of marriage, the issue of weddings. It's a big competition when it comes to weddings. Sometimes within the same extended family, they say, look, Mr. Ahmed's daughter, she got married in the Carlton. Our son's going to get married in the Ritz. Yes. Even though it costs £15,000 to book the Ritz for a Saturday afternoon. But in order to have the status, in order to be shown to be better, to feel that we are better than the Khans, than the Ahmed, than the Qurayshis, we need to consume. We need to own, we need to buy bigger, better, newer than what they have. People feel a need to compete with their mates at work. So people are always, when you hear the conversation in the workplace sometimes, people are comparing notes, you know. So what car are you driving nowadays? Impreza. Wow. Well, mine is the Impreza GT Turbo, bloody, 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 blah. So this is another reason why people feel the need to consume. They want to keep up with another set of people. They're always seeking to outdo other people, whether it's in the same family, whether it's colleagues at work. There's a constant comparison to see what do other people have, and we need to have the newer and the better one of it. Another reason why people feel the constant need to consume is the adverts. The advertisements pushes to people the idea that you have to consume, you need to consume. So I don't know if you guys remember. And with the adverts, they push that, look, if you want to have a comfortable lifestyle, if you want to have enjoyment, you need to consume this good, this item. A while back, there was an advert on TV for a cigar called Hamlet. Any of you remember it? They used to show this guy, yeah, I think he's a bald guy, you know, no girls are going to go out with him. But this guy, he lights a cigar called Hamlet, and they say, happiness is a cigar called Hamlet. It doesn't matter, the woman won't go out with him. It doesn't matter, everything's upside down. He says, look, happiness is a cigar called Hamlet. As far as this man has his Hamlet cigar, he'll be a happy man. So the advert builds a certain image, an image of excitement, of enjoyment. And in order to be excited, to enjoy, to have fun, you need to have this good. You need to have the clothes, which will make you look sexy for summer. You need to have the car so that your mates can envy you. You need to have the latest mobile phone because its ringtones make you look cool in the crowd. You need to have that new kitchen, fitted, special kitchen, so that when your friends come to visit, they will envy you. They will think, wow, what a classy household this is. So this is another reason that the adverts, they push that in order to have enjoyment, to have fun, to be cool, to be this, to be that, you need to have certain products. So people start to desire this product, and people need to go out and to consume this product. Another reason why there is so much consumerism, kids. Kids. Our children are targeted as an avenue, as a means to push the parents to consume. So when you go to the shopping center, you hear a lot of parents speaking to their children, and the child says, Mom, I want PlayStation 2. Dad, I want Xbox. I want Beyblade. I want this. I want that. Want. And you know the parents, they love their children. And you hear big arguments in the shopping center. The daddy can't afford it. But the child is screaming his head off. So the children are targeted. There's a lot of studies that talk about how the advertisers target children. If you watch kiddies programming on Saturday morning, they advertise everything under the sun, specially packed for the kids. You got adult gap, you got kids gap. Everything, especially for the kids. Why? Because the kids themselves need to buy these things, they would feel they need to buy, and also the kids will push their parents, who are the ones who have the money, to go and buy this thing. So again, this fuels, this pushes the consumer culture. Another reason why there's so much rampant consumerism is that there are even festivals dedicated and devoted to consuming. Christmas. Christmas time. In Christmas time, the shops aren't, in Christmas time, the churches aren't full. The shopping centers are packed. They're full. So what's the real religion at Christmas time? It's not Christianity. It's the worship of the consumer god. Everybody runs to the altars and the temples of the consumer god, and they go and bow down to worship. I gotta have this, I gotta have that, I gotta buy this present. And they haven't got enough money. How can people afford all these presents they buy at Christmas? All these big bills. They get a lot of credit. So in Christmas time, people spend billions in credit. Not money that they have, in credit. So these are some of the various reasons why there is such a constant, massive and constant need to consume in the society. The fact that people will fulfill their needs, you know, something has gone, doesn't work, they need to get a new one. The fact that the adverts sell a certain lifestyle and people want to buy into that lifestyle, have fun, have excitement, therefore they need a particular item. The fact that our children are targeted to push the parents to go and consume. The fact that we have consumer festivals which agitates everybody. That if you don't buy something in Christmas, there's something wrong with you. You're Scrooge, you're terrible, you're a horrible person. So people feel the need to constantly consume. There's a question. This constant need to consume, how do people afford it? How do people afford the new car, the this, the that, the that? We find that there is fuel for the consumer society. There is something that the consumer society runs on that facilitates, that makes it possible for people to consume and consume and consume. And that is easy credit. We live in a society where credit is easily available. So you see, many adverts on TV and on the radio, when they advertise the item, that new car, they will say, why wait? You can buy this now. They push this idea. Why do you have to wait? You can buy it now. We can organize finance. Some finance deals, they say, buy now, pay later. Some other adverts, they say, buy now, pay next year. Pay in 2 years' time. So we find that they tell people that, look, whatever you want, why do you have to wait till tomorrow? You need to get it now. You need to have your fix now. You need to get that good, that item. You need to have it now. You need to have it yesterday. And to make it possible for you, we're going to give you credit. We will give you a loan. We will give you money on your credit card. So credit is easily available. And people nowadays can get credit everywhere. Before, you have to go to a bank to get a loan. Nowadays, you can get credit from going to a bank. They'll give you a loan. You can get credit from going to the credit card companies. They'll give you a new credit card, and they'll give you a £5,000 spending limit on it, credit. If you go to buy a computer in a store, the computer store will arrange finance for you. If you go to the supermarket, Tesco's and Sainsbury's and these supermarkets, they arrange credit. They now give people credit. The supermarket. So you can buy your bread and you can buy credit. You can get some credit at the same time. So we find that credit is widespread and is easily available. And they give credit to nearly anybody. You have to have done something really bad or some bad mix up not to get credit nowadays. 19-year-old university students get given credit cards with £5,000 spending limits. We find that most of us, most of you guys, I'm sure if I ask all the brothers here to put up their hand, nearly everybody will say yes. Haven't you received a letter through the post, through your post box? Mr. Mustafa, you're a trusted customer. Mr. Mustafa, you have been cleared for a £10,000 loan. Just sign this sheet and return it to us. Where did they get your name from? We don't know. But somehow you put your name down somewhere, they got your name, they got your address, they send you a letter. Don't worry about it. £10,000. We don't care what you want to spend it on. Just sign up with us. So we find that there is a constant push in this society to consume, and there is a constant push that in order to consume, they will give people the means, credit, the means to be able to consume, to be able to buy that new car, that new thing now, straight away. We find that Muslim families, we as Muslims living in the West, we don't escape the consumer culture. We live in the consumer culture. And many of us have fallen into the consumer culture. So you find that sometimes within Muslim families, parents push their children to get wrapped up in the consumer culture. Some parents, they get cross, they get angry with their kids. Say, uncle, why are you angry with your son? Say, he hasn't got his own house. Say, but he can't afford it. Say, you should get a mortgage. So they push their children, they say, you have to get a mortgage. You have to. They put a lot of pressure on the child. Even though the mortgage involves taking riba, interest, and riba is haram. We all know that. A six-year-old boy knows that taking interest is declaring war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because we feel this need to own, we need to compete with the Khans, to compete with the Ahmeds. They have a house, we want a bigger house. Because of this need, some parents, they push their children to go and own a house. And this is a big issue in the Muslim community. You've got to get a mortgage. A lot of parents push this on their kids. We find that sometimes people in our generation, second generation here, they've gotten very comfortable with this consumer culture and interest and all that, you know, getting easy credit. So when they want a car, there's nothing wrong with the car he's got right now, but his mates are all driving BMs and Mercs, and he's driving some Subaru, some Nissan. What's that? He wants to get the Merc, man, that latest one. With that computer console inside, you know, it'll tell you to turn right, turn left, it'll tell you where you are in the world. That's what he wants. So he looks it up. Look, he's got a good credit history. He goes to get a loan. He goes to get some credit. We find a lot of young Muslims, some of us, we get involved in this. So we find that sometimes the Muslim community, even in our families, we push each other, or we push ourselves sometimes. We get wrapped up. We also become people who feel this need to consume, and we get wrapped up within this need to constantly consume and to consume using any means necessary, even if those means are haram means. This is the reality of the consumer society. An American retail analyst after World War II, he summed up, he gave a picture of what is the consumer society. Victor Lebeau, US retail analyst, he said, I want to quote his words because they really sum up the picture. He said, quotes, our enormously productive economy demands that we make consumption our way of life, that we convert the buying and the use of goods into rituals, that we seek our spiritual satisfaction, our ego satisfaction in consumption. We need things consumed, burned up, worn out, replaced and discarded at an ever-increasing rate. What a summation. He says, look, the demands that we make, he says we need to make consumption our way of life. We need to convert the buying and the use of goods into rituals. And my, he's right. Because buying and consumption has become a ritual. People need to go out on a Saturday to the nearest shopping city in order to consume. If they don't, there's something wrong. People feel a need. So what we find is that consumption, the consumer society, actually is a description of a particular way of life. It's a way of life that states that the route to happiness, the way to be happy, is you have to consume. That says that by consuming, by having the newest and latest car, gadget, phone, this is what confers on you status. This is what confers on happiness. So people start to believe that in order to be happy, in order to have status, in order to be somebody amongst your peers, you have to have the newest and the latest. Consuming becomes a goal of life. Consuming, having the latest, brightest, newest, becomes the goal of life. And that's why people spend so much energy and work so hard in order to be part of the consumer society. Because if not, they might as well be dead. So this is the reality of the consumer society. We need to ask some questions. What are the effects of this consumer lifestyle? Does it deliver happiness? We're told if you consume, you will be happy. Does it deliver happiness? These are questions for us to ask. If we look at it, we see that if you look at a global level, the consumer lifestyle which really initially originated in the West but has spread to the rest of the world, the consumer lifestyle, what has it done to the world? In order for this consumer lifestyle, for this newer and cheaper goods to continuously exist, they have to be made somewhere. So we have sweatshops. We have people in a new type of slavery working for Nike, working for Adidas, working for the big multinationals. Where? In the third world. In Indonesia, in Mexico, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Nigeria. In these places, in the third world, they have to work so hard. Some people with no toilet breaks in order to produce the goods for the Western consumer to consume. So sweatshops and slave labor, this is a product of the consumer society. But also harm to the environment. Many environmentalists will tell you that there's constant need to produce. It means that the resources need to be taken from the earth, need to be refined. And as a result of consuming so much, all the packaging, there is waste. Waste which they don't know how to dispose of. Waste which is piling up, which is causing untold problems for the natural environment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. These are the effects, global effects, of the consumer society. But what about in the West? What are the effects of consuming in the West? There are many effects. One of the effects is that consumption itself, believe it or not, for some people has become an illness, a sickness. Consumption has become a sickness. Sussex University talks about, a report from Sussex University talk about compulsive and uncontrollable shopping, that some people are affected by this. And it quoted a figure of 2 to 5% of adults in Europe and the USA, which in England is about 1 to 3 million people, have to go shopping. It's a sickness. There's something wrong with them because now they have to shop. One company in America has come out with an antidepressant, and it claims that this antidepressant will help you. It will help to numb down the need to shop. This will help to make you feel better. It will help you stop you feeling this urge to go out and shop. So shopping is become an illness. Consumption has become an illness. Consumption has led to a massive debt problem. Massive debt problem. They say Britain is in the red. Yeah? Britain is in the red. But how? Well, what does that mean? Consumer spending, consumer borrowing is out of control. So people have a lot of debts. Many individuals, they've got credit, they've got debt on their credit card. They've got an overdraft on their bank account. They've got student loans from when they were at university, which they have to pay off. They've got a mortgage on their neck for 25 years. They've got a personal loan, which they took out in the bank. SubhanAllah. Massive debt. Many people are in a debt trap. The figures say that the average family in the UK owns £2,300. Debt is a way of life. Enslavement to all of these companies who you owe, you have to work to pay them, this has become a way of life. And we find that when somebody has all of this debt, how can he have peace of mind? Because he's worrying, man. The bailiffs are going to come after me. The bank is going to come after the car. And what about the consumer, the thingy society and the store cards and this and this? So people are worrying about repossessions, about bailiffs, about repayments. But that's not the end of the story. When people are in this difficult situation, trying to swim in a sea of debt, you get new adverts. New adverts on TV. So you get an advert and the guy comes in and he says, do you have a debt problem? We can help you. We have these adverts on TV. They gave them the debt, they pushed them to go and consume, they went and consumed, they built up debt, and then a guy comes along and says, do you have a debt problem? Of course he has a debt problem. And everybody in the Western world has a debt problem. So debt management companies come along to have their own piece of the cake, to exploit people. Take out one loan, we will help you manage it for a fee. They charge fees, they're not charities. So in the West, consumer culture has led to a massive debt problem. Biggest of all, the biggest issue of all, which really should be very clear for us as Muslims, is that consumerism has not delivered. The promise of the consumer culture, the consumer society, is that by consuming you achieve happiness. By consuming you will have status. In that case, everybody in the West should be so happy. Because everybody's consuming. Everybody's got credit to consume. Professor Andrew Oswald of Warwick University, he said, and I quote, during the past 25 years, people have had material things far more, and yet it doesn't seem to have generated greater happiness. In the West, there's high rates of suicide. There's high rates of mental illness. There's a lot of people. Just look around in your workplace. Look around at the people you deal with. People are miserable in their lives. Why? Because people can't have enough. You see, the secret with the consumer society is that, you see, consumerism as an idea is like a drug. People wrapped up in the consumer society become like people who are drug addicts. Because you see, the person who takes the drug, he gets high and he feels good. The whole world looks rosy. So when people go to the shop and they lay their hands on that latest DVD home entertainment system, it gives a buzz. You're happy, you like it, you take it home, you set it up. But after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, after the new models have come out, that buzz wears off. So to get another buzz, you need to look forward to the next item. And just like the drug pusher, for him to have the same buzz every time, he needs to consume more and more and more. More cocaine, more crack, more heroin. The same thing people feel they have to consume and consume and consume. Because it's a temporary buzz. It doesn't lead to happiness. It's a temporary happiness, a temporary satisfaction. And nobody has unlimited wealth to continue to consume and consume and consume. Therefore, in the Western world, the consumer dream is unachievable to the vast majority of people. It can't be achieved because nobody has too much money they can continue to buy and consume. So we see that the consumer society leads to people chasing a dream, something unrealistic. We find that it promises to be the path to happiness, but it's only a temporary happiness. It is not something that delivers happiness in life. Just because you have something does not mean you know where your life is or where your life is going. Unfortunately, this is a problem that exists in every Western country, in every capitalist society, because this is the idea that capitalism gives to the masses. Capitalism says that the purpose of life is to enjoy yourself. And to enjoy yourself, you need to own things. You need to own things that will lead to your enjoyment. So you need to buy, you need to consume. This is what the capitalist society says. This is why people adopt this as their way in life. This is how capitalism promotes an unachievable dream. And the final twist to this story, to this disaster, this enslavement of the masses, is that somebody does have a nice life as a result of all of this misery. The banks, the credit card companies, the debt collectors, the manufacturers of the goods, in short, the real capitalists. So where's Muslims living in the West? How do we make sure we don't get wrapped up in the consumer society? What ideas did Islam give us so that we avoid getting wrapped up in this consumer culture, in this consumer society? First of all, we need to understand that Islam acknowledges that man has the desire to own things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith related by Imam Bukhari in the translation, said, if the son of Adam, a human being, had two valleys of money, he would wish for a third. For nothing can fill the belly of Adam's son except dust, and Allah forgives him who repents and begs for pardon. That if the son of Adam had two valleys of money, massive amounts, he would want more. That it's a natural human desire to want. It's natural. So Islam doesn't say you can't have, it's dirty to have, don't have anything. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ideas and concepts about how to own. About this owning, how does it fit in with our purpose in life? About how to deal with the consumer society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went further than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tuharrimu tayyibati ma ahala Allahu lakum, wa la tahtadu, inna Allaha la yuhibbul muttadin. That all you who believe, may not unlawful, don't make unlawful, the tayyibat, the good things that Allah has created, which Allah has made lawful to you, and do not transgress. So Allah is saying He's created things for us to use. So it is wrong for any Muslim to have in his mind, consumerism is bad, it's haram, I can't use these things. Rather, Islam gave us ideas so that consumerism does not become the purpose in life. Secondly, Islam gives the Muslim a purpose in life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The most important thing in the life of a Muslim is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is abiding by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is living the Islamic life. Gaining Allah's pleasure is the most important thing for a Muslim. So the most important thing is not consuming, having the new car. We're allowed to, but this is not the most important thing for a Muslim. The most important thing is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following His laws and His way of life. Number three, Islam teaches the Muslim to be content with what he has. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that there is a greater reward in the hereafter. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you should possess, you should own. But Allah reminds you that these possessions are a test, and that with Allah is a greater reward. Jannah. So a Muslim, he wants to get a car. Okay. But I can't afford it. I've got to save up for the next 2 years. He doesn't lose hope. He doesn't think, oh man, I'm finished, I'm done. I've got to get a mortgage, I've got to get a loan. He says, well, okay, I can't have it, I'll save up. But he knows that there is some greater incentive, something greater to struggle for, which is Jannah. So the Muslim doesn't see owning things as being the be-all and end-all. Attaining Jannah, that's the be-all and end-all. But we are allowed to own. So this makes a Muslim to be content with what he has while he's trying to improve his means. Number four, a Muslim in competing with other Muslims competes in the issue of taqwa. إِنَّ أَخْرَامَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best amongst you is taqwa. So we don't compete with the Khans about their DVD system. We don't compete with the Ahmeds over the wedding of their daughter. Our son is going to be better. We compete with taqwa. Look how he's bringing up his family. Look his children. MashaAllah, look at the Qirat of the Quran. Look at his wife. She covers. I want my family to be like that. This is our competition. It's not like the competition of the Joneses and the Beckhams over things. So in this way, a Muslim competes in the lawful things. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number five, a very important concept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in our mind, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَلَّ زَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَلَّ زَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. That whosoever does an atom's weight of good, he will say it. Whoever does an atom's weight of bad, haram, he will say it. The way to consume, the way to own, the way to spend must be halal ways. This is a concept a Muslim has. So I cannot consume in a haram way. I can't get a mortgage in order to get a house because it's haram. It's declaring war on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does anybody want to fight Allah?
No.
Who's that brave guy? No Muslim wants to do that. Anybody wants to go and get a loan with interest? A Muslim says no. If it's a haram way to own this thing, I don't want it. If it's a haram way to spend my wealth, I want nothing to do with it. So these issues of mortgage, interest-free credit with interest conditions in it, the Muslim avoids all of this. My brothers, Islam makes it clear in our minds that we as Muslims, we must not become slaves to the consumer culture. That we need to consume using the halal ways, and we need to not consume in the haram ways. And that we Muslims should look forward beyond this life. Yes, we can own in this life, but we should look forward to that which is greater, that which we should spend our life striving for, which is Jannah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.